You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Well, good morning, church. If you have a Bible, please take one out with me and turn to Psalm 119, which is where we are continuing today. Happy New Year, first Sunday in a new year, 2025, and we're continuing in our two-part series here in Psalm 119. It is a long psalm. There's lots to say about Psalm 119. In fact, it's the longest passage in Scripture, 176 verses. And last week we began the first eight verses. Today we'll look at the next eight verses, verses 9 through 16. But if you were to read all of Psalm 19, maybe you have in your life, one of the themes that you will find, the most important theme you will find, is that the Word of God is the way to blessing. Which is why last week and this week, the tagline or the theme of this little two-part series on the way of the Word has been the idea that the life of blessing is found only when you found your life on Jesus Christ. Now, the way that you find Jesus Christ is through the revealed Word of God. And so you read through Psalm 119 and you see how beautiful it is and how important it is and how essential it is. It advocates for the word in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue on that theme today. Another way to think about how the word applies to your life is to say this: one who loves the living word, Jesus, must love the written word, the Bible. One who loves the living word, Jesus Christ, must love the living word, the Bible. And so if we believe that abundant life, as John writes in John 10, is found in a life founded on Jesus, and we believe that the Bible is the way that we are revealed to this Jesus, then we must believe that our lives ought to be founded on having the word regularly instructing our lives. Another way to think of it is this: you cannot love and follow Jesus and not care for his word. Or you cannot love and follow Jesus and not submit to his word. And so the follower of Christ who loves Jesus is one who opens God's word and meditates on it and thinks about it and submits to it and lives by it and delights in it. And now, church, I want to read it with us. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, let me read our passage today. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. In our passage today, I want us to see two reasons why the word is the way to blessing. Two reasons why. If you're a note keeper, you want to keep it outlined, there's going to be three subpoints for each of these points. So we're going to look at a main point, and then we're going to see how in the verses it builds towards what this main point says together today. Now, if you look at verse 9, our passage begins with a call to young people. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And so I want to begin just by calling our young people to pay attention for a moment. Maybe you're a young man or a young woman here today, and you're maybe learning the things of Scripture, you're trying to understand what this passage says. I want you to hear this today. Or maybe ask this question: why does this part of this psalm begin with a call specifically for young people? Why is it saying, how can a young man keep his way pure? You know, young person, maybe you've thought questions in your life at this point in your life. You've maybe asked yourself and said, how do I make decisions in life or begin to go through life and find purpose? Or maybe you ask yourself the question, how do I live my life pleasing to God? Maybe we less spiritualize the question, and maybe you've just asked yourself, how do I go through life and find success? Or how do I stay out of trouble? The first verse or of this stanza today says, how can you keep your way pure? It gives you an answer. In one way, you could look at what the world has to offer and you can say, well, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to choose my own morality or my own standard of living and just try and figure it out. But I can promise you, you will find how exhausting that is. You will realize, why am I trying to do this on my own? Now, to the psalmist's point, you will find today in our passage, one way to go through life, the decisions you make, the vocation you choose, Lord willing, a partner that God brings into your life as a spouse one day, and whatever else God has for you, another way is to live according to God's way. It's to make decisions and actions and to speak of and to think of God's way in the way that is guarded by purity according to his word. And so if you're here today as a young person, I want you to think about this. You know, a number of years ago, I came across a small book by a 19th century British pastor named J.C. Ryle. The book is called Thoughts for Young Men. And in the introduction of this book, he gives five reasons for why he writes the book, about why particularly he wants to exhort young men at a young stage of life. And I want to just give you five reasons, young man, today, why you might consider, according to verse 9 or this premise here in this book, about why you should choose to build your life on the foundation of God and his word. And so Ryle begins, he says, number one, the reason why young men in particular need exhorting in his culture and in ours today, he says, I tremble to observe how few young men are setting their affections on the things above, the things of God. Number two, that death and judgment are before young men and they nearly all seem to forget it. They think they're going through life and they're immortal. Thirdly, that what a young man will be in all probability depends on what they are now. Fourthly, he says that the devil uses special diligence to destroy the souls of young men, and they seem not to know it. And then lastly, he says, reason for exhorting. Young men need exhorting because of the sorrow it will save them to begin serving God now. And so young person, if you're here today, you need to see verse 9 and specifically understand why God's word might be calling you early on in life to choose to build your life on a foundation of Jesus Christ and his word. It's maybe why Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, after he searched all through life to find purpose and meaning with all his wealth and possessions and wisdom, he says this, remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, choose Christ now. For when you go through life and you ingrain your own routines and your own reasoning and your own logic, choosing it to do your own way, it will be harder to course correct yourself. And so if we look in this verse today, church, we see a call to young people, but this verse and passage is more than just young people. It's for all those who choose to find life and blessing. And so let's begin with the first few verses. Verse 9 through 11 is where we find our first reason why the word of God would be a blessing in our lives or lead to blessing. Number one, point one is this, because the word of God, it is my protection. You ever think about God's word like that? That it is your protection in life? Reality is this life is a spiritual battle. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, we don't struggle in this life against flesh and blood, about just trying to stay healthy or just trying not to get hurt or how long we can prolong life. No, he continues, he says, we don't struggle against flesh and blood. We struggle against, he gives a bunch of spiritual reasons. This life is a spiritual battle against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. That's why God gave us his word to know Jesus Christ, that he might call us to himself and say, I've made a way for you to be reconciled back to me. Don't let Satan and evil and sin tempt you away. This is the way to life and blessing. And so as this passage begins, it's showing us that God's word is a protection for us. Paul says literally in Ephesians chapter 6, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so your encouragement today is to think of the word given to you in your life, the Bible you might hold in your hands right now, as protection in a spiritual battle. Well, what exactly or how exactly is it our protection? Here's our first subpoint. In verse 9, we see that it's protection from impurity. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can we keep our way pure? By guarding it according to your word. This word guard is in order to think of it in a different way, think of it as keep or abide or live by or obey or make the decisions of your life be surrounded with the word of God. You want to live a life of purity according to a way that pleases God and brings glory to him. Surround your life with what scripture says. Submit to it as your authority and go through life guarded by the word of God. That is how you keep your way pure. And so God's word is protection from impurity. Verse 10 now, we continue on. Here's another sub-point for how God's word protects us. It protects us from wandering. Let's look at verse 10. The psalmist continues, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I love that prayer request. He's declared the wholehearted devotion. God, I'm going to live my life wholeheartedly devoted to you, surrounding my life with the word of God to keep it pure. But then he brings God into the request. God, I need you to help me in this. As I go through life, I need you to help keep my way pure. I need you to keep me from wandering, he says. He doesn't say to God, God, I've got this. I know what I need to do. I'm going to try hard. I'm going to strive, put my mind to it. I know exactly what needs to be done to keep my way pure. He says, God, let me not wander. This is someone who says to God, as I go through life, I know what I need to do, but I also know the struggles of my heart. I know the temptations that I face. And I know that if I'm left on my own, God, I will wander from you. And I will choose my own way. Church, the reality in this verse right here is the importance for us to regularly remind ourselves that we are prone to wander. Not to build ourselves up and pamper ourselves to say, you know, I think I can do it. I think I'm sufficient in myself. We are regularly reminded, no, I am prone to wander. To regularly remind ourselves with the reality that we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have all gone to our own way or will choose to go to our own way. Or maybe it's the reality of regularly reminding ourselves that although in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and faith in him, we have forgiveness past, present, and future. We are not freed from it. And we need to regularly remind ourselves that we long for and we await the day when there's no more struggle with sin and death and temptation. But God, here, right now, today, this week, this year, I am going to struggle. So God, let me not wander. Keep me on the path that leads to life. One commentator says this, the apprehension or the tendency or the danger that we have to wander is what leads one to pray. And when one prays, they are safe. I just love that picture that it gives us in our minds that when we pray, we are safe. Because one of the things we love to say around here about prayer is a way of saying to God, God, I need you in this or in that. I need you to move. I need you to work. I can't do it. So when we pray, we're safe because we're praying for God to take control or be in charge. You know, the lyrics of the song, Lord, I Need You. Partway through the song there, it says, in our lives, without you, I fall apart. God, without you keeping me from wandering, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. In the chorus, he says, Lord, I need you. You're my one defense. You are my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Or remember the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The lyrics go like this, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. You see, the proneness that we all have to wander is an important thing to be reminded of. That when we walk away from the word and God's commands and God's rules and his statutes, you can find all these words in our passage today, there are dangers in wandering. Essentially, as we've seen last week and this week, we wander from the word, we forfeit a life of blessing. Because God chooses to bless the man or woman or child who builds their life upon his word. I want us to think about some of the dangers from wandering. I just want to show you some results from a recent Pew Research study. This is on the frequency of reading the Bible. Just taking a few categories here of the person who's regularly at least once a week or a few times a week in God's word, person who's a little bit less frequent, once or twice a month maybe, to the person who's so seldom or maybe just annually in God's word, maybe if it's at Christmas or Easter when they went to church, they opened it, but that was the only time. Look at the change in percentage of people who are connected regularly with the things that God blesses when they wander from the word. So starting with regularly attending church, at least people who are reading God's word regularly, about 74% of them. You wander from the word, working all the way downwards, only once a year or so, 27% find the need to gather together with the people of God. Or take prayer, for example. Those who pray regularly and are regularly in the word regularly long to talk with their God. God, I long to talk with you and commune with you. I recognize my need of help and not wandering in my life from your commandments compared to those who are not in the word. It drops down to 56%. Or what about those in community? 59% who are regularly in the word feel the need to be connected with God's people. Down to 8% of people who are not in the word have no desire for the people of God. Church, look at the dangers of wandering from the word. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know what, I'm kind of in one of those ruts. I'm kind of stuck, and there's grace for you today in this season of life just to say, hey, at face value, I don't know your situations, but I do know you enough and God's word enough to say you will wander if you are not in his word. And so take the red flag or the caution from just some of these numbers today and saying, I got to be in the word because when I'm in the word, it fills me, it will revive me, it reminds me of how I ought to live, it shares with me the character of my God. Think of it this way, apathy is the breeding ground for apostasy. If you're apathetic towards the word of God, one day you'll find yourself in a place of saying, why need the word of God? I can't trust the word of God. No point for the word of God. And so in verse 9, we recognize that God's word protects us from impurity. In verse 10, it's protection from wandering. And now thirdly, in verse 11, we see that God's word protects us from sin. Look at verse 11. The psalmist says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So notice the purpose of why they're storing God's word in their life. It's not to know more or to be able to recite to my friends like the Pharisees and have them think highly of me. Wow, you know all these verses or listen how you talk or how you pray. The psalmist says, no, God, I'm storing your word in my heart so that I wouldn't sin against you. The motivation is, God, I want to live according to your ways. I want to follow you. So if I store up your word in my heart, it'll change me and then I will sin less against you. And just to be clear as well, last week we looked at verse 3 and we just took a moment to say, so what's the purpose of a life built on the word of God? Is it to get to a place of saying we don't sin anymore? Nowhere in scripture does it teach that we are ever perfect away from sin. But what happens is as God's word stored within us, as we see here in verse 11, as it's stored within us, the desire to sin against our holy God diminishes. That's the purpose of storing God's word in our lives, because as we approach scripture with this desire, we say, God, the more I store your word about you, the more I want to sin less against you. And so we're called then to think about sinning in this way. I want to show us a slide or an image of maybe how this could be helpful. What the psalmist is saying is as the word of God rises in their life, as they store the word within them, their desire to sin goes down. It's not as though they'll get perfect, as I just said. But God, as your word changes me, I want to live more for you. I want to live according to your rules, your way. My life is guarded by your statutes and commandments. God, that's how I'm going to live my life. I think that's what led Martin Luther to say this about the Christian life. Here is not a person who is sinless, but a person who sins less. Notice the distinction there? It's not perfection, but it's increased sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. Because when you delight in his word, you find blessing and happiness to say, God, I love living for you. And so the psalmist says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So here's where we've been so far. When I'm guided by your word, God, I stay pure. When I'm helped by your word, I don't wander. When I'm storing up your word, I sin less. These are the blessings of what God's word is for protection in our lives. But here's the second reason for why God's word is a blessing in our lives. Point number two, it will become our passion. It will become your passion when you spend your time and energy and life building all of your decisions and thoughts and actions on the word of God and according to the word of God. So as the psalmist continues, verses 12 through 16, we now start to see the life that is changed by God's word. God, here's the things that I'm going to believe and do and how I'll need you, but then God, I'm going to see change in my life. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. It says, blessed are you, O Lord. There's this request, teach me your statutes. God, with my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. And so our first subpoint here, as the word of God becomes our passion, we begin to see that as we declare the word of God. The word of God is our passion as our declaration. One commentator says this about the idea of storing up God's word in our heart. And then as we transition to these verses, one way to think of it is the mind is so full of the subject that the lips now become the vent to the feeling of gratitude and joy of what God's word is doing. Ever thought about your lips like that? Just a vent for what's going on in your mind and your heart? The psalmist says, God, teach me. And as you're teaching me and as I'm learning your rules and statutes, my mouth cannot help but declare how beautiful you are, how awesome your word is. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. Think about what declaration looks like for you this coming year. Maybe it's a resolution just to say, God, I'm going to pray that I speak more about what you're doing in me. God, maybe one person with one thought per day, and I just want to share and declare with them one thing that I love about your word or what you're teaching me or how it's changing me. Because as we learn and grow in God's word, it becomes, through our declaration, something we love to declare. It's what leads the psalmist a number of verses later in Psalm 119, verse 97, where the psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. Verse 110 and 11, your testimonies are the joy of my heart. Maybe that's your prayer this year. God, I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to say that I love your word. I want to be able to say that they're the joy of my heart. Maybe you're close to that point. Maybe you're in that season. Maybe you're not there, but you're willing to believe that I want to get there, and I know I can get there because of how beautiful the word is. But the reality is we all declare and talk about things we love in our lives. Some of us love to talk about sports. We love to talk about business or education, or some of us love to talk about our children or grandchildren. We love to talk about our achievements and accomplishments. We love to talk about ourselves. But if we were to put that on the scale to how much we declare and talk about God's word, how would the scale go? Maybe the resolve today is to say, God, I want to declare more of your word. I'm going to do that because I love it and I need to be declaring it more often. You see, the connection here in these verses is God, fill my mind, and as I understand, my lips will declare. Notice the connection there. It's like a supply and demand issue. As I'm supplied with your word stored within me, and as I learn it and your statutes, I want to just output and send it to the people around me and declare in my life how beautiful it is. Now, here's also what happens as we transition. As we go to verse 14, we understand that this psalmist is loving God's word. And so our next subpoint in how God's word becomes our passion is it just becomes such a delight to us. God's word is a passion to me as my delight. If you look at verse 14, the psalmist says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. In other words, God living by your way and your standard and your rules and your word is such a delight to do that obediently that when I look around at the things of this earth or what I have, nothing compares. Could you say that today? Could you think about all the things maybe that you got for Christmas or when you look at your bank account or your investments or all the hopes and dreams you want to do this year, if you were to look at then the word of God, would you be able to say, God, I love your word as much as all the things I have in earth? I think the point here is as well to say, God, I love your word more. It is more valuable to me. It is the way and the path that leads to blessing. And so the psalmist is declaring their delight that they have in the kingdom of God or the words of God and how beautiful and rich it brings life and vitality when they submit to it and live by it. Reminds me of two chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 13, Jesus tells this parable about the hidden treasure in a field. It's just one little verse in chapter 13, but Jesus says the kingdom of God is like someone who finds this hidden treasure. And they understand its value and they delight so much in it that they go home, they sell all that they have and they take the proceeds to the sales and they buy the field because they know if they have the field, then they will be able to delight in something that surpasses all of the wealth and riches they had on earth. A couple chapters later in Matthew 19, this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to enter the kingdom? And Jesus says, you must keep all the commandments, the law, the prophets, the writings. And the rich young ruler says, Jesus, I've done all of these things. So what must I do now to enter into the kingdom? And Jesus looks at him and says, I want you to go and sell all that you have and come and follow me, and then you will enter the kingdom. The story tells us this man is not filled with delight. Says he walks away sorrowful because he considers all the things that he has and it did not compare to the delight of building a life founded on Jesus Christ and the blessing that comes from him. That's what leads the psalmist to be able to say, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. But here's a question. What if the delight today that you have for God's word doesn't match to what this psalmist is saying? Maybe you wouldn't share that with anyone else, but deep down inside, you've been just struggling with the word and thinking, God, I just don't know if I delight in it. I certainly wouldn't be able to express it like this. It's been hard. I find it maybe a big book, or I'm just struggling to learn from it. Sometimes it's helpful to think about the idea of a duty to be in the word or to build your life on that. That leads to the discipline of saying now it's becoming a little more habitual in my life where I just have good practices because I'm committed to the end. And then eventually the duty and discipline becomes delight. And God changes you and begins to do something in you where you recognize, wow, God, I'm a different person. Maybe you're at that place where you're looking at God's word saying, I'm kind of indifferent to it. I don't really know if life and blessing come from the word as important as I'm hearing today in Psalm 119. I want us to think about some questions that we might be able to ask as we look at these last two verses. I want to put a slide up that maybe ask the question, how do I know if the word is truly my delight? Maybe you're in the discipline, you're going through the motions, you're reading the Bible regularly, and then you start to wonder, do I even delight in this, or is this just practice for me? Here's some questions to ask. Now look at verse 15. The psalmist says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. One of the ways to know if you truly delight in God's word, firstly here, is that it's in my thoughts. It might become a person who says, I'm just thinking about God's word a lot. It's on my mind a lot. I have questions about it. I can't wait to study it or ask someone about something. I can't wait to go deeper on something that I was reading. It's just something that I'm often thinking about. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's an indication that God's word is a delight because it's in your mind a lot. Now look at the first part of verse 16. The psalmist says, I will delight in your statutes. I will love your statutes. Maybe the second point here is that you become a person who says, God's word is in my heart because I love it. I can't think of going through life without God's word. It's so valuable to me. It means so much to me. My delight truly is in the word of God. Maybe you become a person who's truly delighting in the word and you're able to say that. Or maybe thirdly, the last part of verse 16 says, I will not forget your word. And so maybe thirdly, to know whether or not you delight in it, you're able to say, God's word is in my memory. I've locked it up because it came to mind when I went through that situation or when in that moment, when that happened to me, when I was confronted with that, when I was gathered with these types of people in my life, just a verse came to mind, and God used that word in my life in that moment to really help. It was fruitful. It blessed me and encouraged me, maybe even surprised me. God, I can't believe that your word in that moment just by the Spirit allowed me to think, wow, that's exactly what I need to do. Maybe you're a person, as you delight in God's word, is able to say, I've been memorizing God's word, and I just find it's coming to mind at these times that are so providential that only God is praised from that. Maybe that's the type of delight that is happening in your life. Now, if we look at verse 15 and 16, another way to summarize that is the person who is determined to take intentional steps to build their life on the word of God. And so our third subpoint here is that the word becomes our passion as our determination. Notice the words the psalmist says. He says, I will meditate. I will fix my eyes. I will delight. I will not forget. This just doesn't happen by accident. One of the things we love to talk about in our steps class as we look at the doctrine of Scripture is you can't, under the doctrine of the clarity of Scripture, put your Bible by your nightstand one night and wake up the next morning by osmosis and have the Bible just come into your life. It'd be great if it happened that way. You could download it or program it, but you have to be intentional to store up God's word in your life. Which is why the psalmist has the resolve to say, God, I will do this. I'm not just gonna think about it, hope that it happens by accident, count Sunday morning when we look up in a passage in our current series and check the box, or when I went to church at Christmas Eve and they talked about something about the incarnation, that was my box check for when the word was open. It's in the intentional pursuit in your life to say, God, I will do this. I know it's good for me. Even if the delight's not there yet, this year I will make time and margin and habits to build the word of God because I believe it leads to a life of blessing. And so the word is our determination. Maybe some of us just think about the word of God and wondering, it's just such a big book. I don't really know where to start. I've never really done this before. I mean, it just seems so overwhelming, and I just don't have any practical guides or places to begin. And I want to encourage you as we come to this, these next few slides, just as a way to think about Scripture this year. Maybe to make intentional steps like these last verses in our passage today about the intentionality of what this would look like. Maybe this year is a year where you say, God, I will read it, I will memorize it, I will recite it, I will learn it. Maybe I will find ways to sing it. There's some practical examples behind each of these in terms of what does that look like or how do you get started and just a baby step to get towards the delight that we see in our psalmist, but get in a reading plan. No random reading of Scripture where you just open a page, but get into a reading plan so you work your way through the whole counsel of God. So you read the entire narrative where you see, wow, this is how God was working Jesus through all of these books to eventually be glorified. Get in a reading plan. It would be so helpful for you this year as you read it or memorize it. Maybe commit yourself to Scripture memory this year. God, I want to take one verse that's blessed me or means a lot to me, or as I'm going through this situation, this verse speaks to that, and so I'm going to commit to memorize it, that it would be fruitful in my life to bless me. You can find some other examples of what that looks like, maybe apps like Fighter Verses or Navigators, or put a cue card in your morning commute as you're driving to work, and you see the sticky note, and there's the verse right there, and then when traffic is stopped, you take a quick look, and then you continue on again, but memorize Scripture. Maybe recite it. God, as I learn Scripture, I want to recite it to people. Or maybe you're thinking, I want to use creeds or catechism. The last number of months, our family ministries here at Hope on our family nights has been working through New City Catechism, which is a resource that takes doctrinal questions for kids and then answers them scripturally according to God's word. Maybe your family wants to consider this year. We're going to learn some catechism questions to know how God's word applies to our life. Maybe you're looking to learn it more. I just don't really know what the Bible's about. I got all these questions and want to know more about Jesus, or I can't really understand the Old Testament. Maybe you heard in our announcements today, or you want to go on our website and sign up for classes that's starting next weekend even in our winter term. Take a class to learn God's word that you might get to the place of saying, as I've been learning it, now I'm declaring it because I'm now delighting in it. Or maybe lastly here, sing it. We all love music and love singing that melody that comes and gets stuck in our mind. Take a verse, create a silly tune to it, and get it in your mind so that when you're doing dishes, you're just, there's that verse again, there's that tune again, and God's word is regularly on my mind. Or find some Christian musicians that produce music saturated with scripture. Not fluffy stuff, but stuff that is just the word of God spoken through song, and then that fills your mind and your heart and leads you to places of worship. Maybe those are baby steps. I want to go to the next slide now and just kind of break down the question of, well, how do I have time for this? If you were to take 30 minutes a day, this is from an article published by Crossway a number of years ago. It's just really helpful. So just to summarize, take 30 minutes a day and you're thinking, I'm not sure if I have 30 minutes. Well, for example, 70% of us might say we take 30 minutes to do email a day. I don't know if I have 30 minutes. Well, 28% of people find 30 minutes per day for Facebook. So let's just swap them out. Let's just try it for one day. And then a couple times a week. And then regularly. Different types of social media, the things that we fill our minds and our hearts with. Let's fill it with God's word this year. Because then in light of this list right here, if you were to take the book of Ecclesiastes, 30 minutes, one day, you could read it entire, front to cover. Work your way to the bottom here. God, I've never really been through the Bible before. 30 minutes a day, you could read the entire Bible in 160 days. You do it twice in one year. Maybe you want to go a little bit slower. About, I think, 6 minutes a day or so, the math was, you could read the entire Bible in 2 years. 6 minutes. 12 minutes a day, you could read it through in 1 year. God, I want to commit myself to these things because I want to be determined in my life to build my life on the Word of God. Church, Psalm 119 is such a reason for us to recognize that true life and true blessing is found only through the Word of God. Why? Not because we worship a book, but because in the written Word of God reveals to us the living Word, Jesus Christ. And we are exposed with the gospel message that tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus, fully God, fully man, born as a baby, the incarnation. We just celebrated at Christmas time. That baby grows up and he goes to the cross to die for sin. That's what the written word reveals to us. Some of you this year, or even today, you begin, read a gospel. The life and ministry of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You literally could have your life changed today when you're exposed through the word of God about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world away. Some of you, through the word of God this year, might be able to say, God, I've learned to love you like I've never loved before. As I've been committed to your word and I'm building my life on your word and the foundation that it is, God, I've been blessed like I've never seen you bless me before. Just more of you, more of you, more of you. Some of you might say, God, I've been looking for contentment everywhere, but when I committed to building my life on the word, I have contentment found now only in Jesus Christ. Nothing in this world compared to when I committed myself to the word and that foundation, and now I have it. That could change today. According to Psalm 119, to building your life founded on the word of God. And church, maybe our prayer this year would be that we would be a people in the Word of God who are being moved and changed by the Word of God because we get to know more of our God. God, help us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. And today in particular in Psalm 119, we thank you for your Word because your Word reveals to us not only how beautiful it is, but how beautiful you are. Speaks of Jesus Christ, long awaited. Many times people prayed, come, thou long expected Jesus, and then you came, and the scriptures reveal to us that time. Long ago, and many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but then you spoke through Jesus Christ, the Son, whom you appointed the heir of all things, who by which you also created the world. So thank you for your word that reveals to us the living word, Jesus Christ. And pray this in his name. Amen.